The Defense Contract Management Agency has about 12,000 civilian and military employees that interact with more than 20,000 contractors and handle more than $220 billion for the Defense Department. Lieutenant General Wendy Masiello is director of DCMA. She is here at the GovCon Awards ceremony tonight to receive an award for her role in building business partnerships between the public and private sector. Congratulations on the DCMA gig. You haven't been
there
for very long.
No.
And when you got there, after you were briefed in and you had an awareness of where you needed to go mission-wise, how did you determine what the priorities were that you wanted to execute first, and then how did you go about executing them, General?
I had the opportunity to just, I told my team I want 100 days to pay attention to what's going on. Took time to go out and talk with folks and learn what they were thinking and what was important to them and what they thought I should do as their new leader. From that, I came to the conclusion we needed to, one, learn how to work as a team ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I needed to do is help other people understand what DCMA does for them. And the third part is paying attention to the industrial base and recognizing that there are challenges ahead as our defense dollars go down.
Mm-hmm. So as you establish those and you start to execute them, I'm reminded of a conversation that I had with Dan Tangerlini this morning at the NAPA annual meeting. Mm-hmm. I asked him a question about change management and how you let change flow down from the top. I was going to say push it down, but I thought that's a little too autocratic. How do you let it flow down? And he said, well, it's just as important for it to percolate from the bottom up so that people have a sense of ownership. Is that the approach that you took at DCMA? And if so, how'd you do that?
I'm glad that you teed this question up because it's exactly how I think. I've always had a very inclusive style. So one of the things I learned as I went out to talk to the folks out in the field, they were very passionate about their missions and they were very good at what they did. And when I came back to talk to some of my teammates, at the headquarters level, I learned, you know what, we need to tap into these folks a little bit better. So our plan is, as we start revising policies and processes, actually to make it a very inclusive process, bringing people in from the field who are doing it each and every day to help us define what the best way is forward.
So the policies and processes are one part of it, and the culture is the other part of it, because the biggest struggle that I hear from any kind of change manager in agencies is, we can say we're going to do this, and people are skeptical until they actually start to see it. Is that your experience,
too? It's absolutely true. So my obligation is to live up to the commitment that I've made. If I promise them that I'm going to be very transparent about how we're developing our processes and policies, then I have to live up to that commitment, or they're going to say, oh, here we go again. In the same token, I need to bring people up. If I say I'm going to bring talent up from the field to help us define that, I need to make that happen as well. So I owe them that.
What's your talent landscape look like, and what does the talent landscape look like more broadly for people to come into this field so that you continue to have the people that you need?
It's not dissimilar to the rest of the Department of Defense. We've got a very junior young workforce in terms of experience. Not necessarily age, but in terms of experience. Then we have kind of a bathtub in our mid-level and then a huge hump again in our senior level. So we spend a lot of time with our young, more junior members, giving them kind of jumpstart talent. We've actually been partnering with Defense Acquisition University to develop training specifically for contract administration. It's not something that we've ever spent any time focusing on at the DoD level. So building that talent internally by jumpstarting those folks, assigning mentors, giving them multiple experience so they see the breadth of what DCMA is responsible for.
Why are those elements, do you think, the most important ones? They spring to mind pretty easily. They flow pretty easily from your brain. Why are those the things that are the most critical in your view?
When almost a third or more of your workforce is that junior, you're very reliant on them. So it's important that you give them the skills as early as you possibly can so that they can contribute to the workload. And at the same time, still allow them that developmental opportunity so they're not stuck doing the same thing, but deliberately plan for their future.
Lieutenant General Wendy Masiello is director of the Defense Contract Management Agency. She is here to receive a special award from Fairfax Chamber of Commerce, Professional Services Council, and at the GovCon Awards this year. As we joked a little bit about the award and how you learned about it and all of that beforehand. But what does something like this say about your organization? I mean, everybody always says, well, it's not just me, it's the team. But what does this say about your organization that these organizations the Fairfax Chamber and PSC want to recognize DCMA for the work that you're doing?
I think it's a recognition that we are so integral to the industrial success. It's very important for us to understand their position and what's going on. By the same token, it's very important for us to hold them accountable to the promises they've made through contracts or whatever policies and processes they tell us they're doing. Mm-hmm. What it might say is that they're hopeful that my style will continue, uh-huh. and that is taking the time to listen to industry, to hear what their particular concerns are about what we have been doing and what our past might indicate, and look to the future together as we modify our behaviors together while still achieving accountability.
So you put a lot of effort into nurturing that relationship and understanding it when you came into DCMA. What did you learn through that process, through those conversations with people in industry? And what did you hear that maybe you weren't expecting to hear that made you happy or made you not as happy?
I think the thing that I hear a lot, and it's a very chronic issue, is a tremendous amount of oversight, that there are multiple organizations providing oversight in the same locations. And Defense Contract Management Agency is particularly charged to provide that oversight, particularly for our large contractors. But many of the program teams still want to help in that process, too, and I understand that. That didn't surprise me, but it actually started resonating in a different way now that I have that responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I discovered today that I need to actually step out and have conversations with my counterparts. And mm-hmm. let's talk about this, because it makes sense to me that there may be more burden on our contractors than is warranted. Mm-hmm. And what can we do together as a government team to relieve some of that burden?
Music to their ears, I'm sure.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
The word that I hear overwhelmingly beyond any others when I talk to folks about contracting, especially with DOD, is requirements. Mm-hmm. How are you addressing the requirements issue? Or I guess maybe the first place to start is, in your view, what are the requirements issues, or maybe just one, that are important for you to deal with, and then how will you go about addressing that or them?
So the mission of Defense Contract Management Agency is really to take the contract that somebody else wrote mm-hmm. that includes a set of requirements and ensure that the contractor lives up to that obligation. What's interesting is it also, in some cases, requires us to hold the government accountable for the promises they made in that contract, too. So as we take a look at the contract, one thing we learned is sometimes there's some things that aren't quite perfect in that contract. And to help clarify requirements, for example, requires contract modifications. Mm-hmm. And it's identifying those issues to both parties and trying to resolve any disconnects that allow us all then to march towards the desired end state of whatever mm-hmm. that contract result's going
to
be.
Yeah, it strikes me that it's to your benefit, too, even if you weren't responsible for the initial writing, to be involved in that process, because it's going to be easier and better for your team to administer that contract.
So I love that you said that, because that's exactly the challenge I put on my team. And I said that I'm going to measure your success by how many RFPs you read and got to participate in and provide feedback on before it ever became a contract.
Yeah.
Because as you suggested, if we can provide that feedback from our experience in administration earlier rather than later,
yeah,
we solve a lot of our problems altogether.
I mean, the bottom line is you're not stuck trying to administer clunkers because you were involved
exactly.
earlier on. What's that like for the COs that are seeing you, contracting officers, mm-hmm. not commanding officers,
right.
Seeing you coming in and maybe being or starting to be a little bit more involved in that process, and they're saying, maybe, I don't know, maybe they're saying, I'm glad you're here, or maybe they're saying, what are you doing here?
One of the things that's actually resonating pretty well is I began my Air Force career as a second lieutenant in what was called an Air Force Plant Rep Office, mm-hmm. an AFPRO. It's a predecessor to DCMA. So 30-plus years ago, I had some pretty solid experiences that said, people don't listen to us,
uh-huh.
and they should. So 30 years later, I'm in a position where I can do some influence, and I have an opportunity, and many of those DOD leaders have given me an opportunity to talk to their acquisition and contracting professionals and do some education
mm-hmm.
and help them understand what it is that we're capable of doing, the types of skills that we have available to them, the things that we can help them with. And rather than pushing back, many are very interested and are glad to hear there's someone that can actually help them in the process. So I'm still early in that process, but it seems to be resonating pretty well for the teams and the folks that I've talked to this point.